Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court grants a major victory against gender secrecy policies in California. We're going to be talking about this decision on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, sometimes I feel like we talk so much about these gender issues and the pronouns, and it's like, where has culture come? What have we come to? Thankfully, we have a victory to talk about, but this whole gender stuff is really encroached into the public school system, Matt.
It's encroached everywhere, and the reason is because this is a direct collision with religious freedom. Mm-hmm. It's a zero-sum game, meaning that there are no compromises because the LGBTQ agenda cannot exist in the presence of religious belief, because the Christian, Judeo-Christian doctrine is God created us in his image, male and female. And that is a direct collision with this LGBTQ agenda, which has this fluidity of gender and this idea that you can, quote unquote, change your gender, that you can essentially create yourself in your own image, that you can essentially say, God made a mistake and I'm going to fix it.
But the thing is, this agenda, they're not giving up. They continue to push this, trying to normalize it and make you look like the bad guy for trying to fight against it.
Well, this is a case coming out of California, and it was an emergency ruling. It's called an IPA, an injunction pending appeal. And the U.S. Supreme Court on this emergency injunction, so it's not a final ruling yet, but it's a great indication as to where the Supreme Court's going. And at this stage, it is binding on the lower district in California.
Well, they did it to block these gender secrecy policies right away.
Yeah, it's
right?
Mirabelli versus Bonta. There's a group of parents and teachers, and they challenged the secrecy policies, arguing they infringed on their First Amendment free speech and free exercise of religion rights. The policies restrained public school teachers and staff from informing parents about unusual gender expression from their child unless the child consented. The policies applied to children as young as 2 and as old as 17.
Here's another example where the public school is trying to put wedges between the children and their parents. We see it time and time again, and here's another one.
So this is a school policy there in California where they want to promote this LGBTQ agenda, this gender fluidity nonsense. And they want to hide it from their parents so that kids can come to school. And at home, they go by their natural pronoun. But at school, they go by whatever pronoun they want to. They can dress differently at school. They can be addressed differently at school. They can use the opposite sex restroom if they want to. And then no one on the school staff, faculty, teachers, staff, all of those administrators can tell or inform the parents.
Right. And so the opinion they put out concluded that withholding this gender information from parents, namely those who have religious objections to this gender ideology, is an intrusion on parents' free exercise rights. And, you know, the high court sometimes is kind of careful how they put out wording, but they said, of course, they sided with the parents here, stating that their free exercise claims are likely to succeed on the merits and that the secrecy policies likely violate parental rights regarding their child's upbringing education.
And that word likely is typical at this preliminary stage because it's not final. And so when the Supreme Court says they're likely to succeed on the merits, they've made a determination before all the litigation transpires that based upon what's before the court, they're likely to succeed. The bottom line is they're forecasting to the lower courts, you know what, you better listen to us because if it comes back here again, unless there's some significant change in the facts,
you're likely to lose.
You're likely to lose.
Yeah.
Said it was a 6-3 opinion by the high court. It's a great decision. So the Supreme Court order now reinstates a district court permanent injunction that halts these California policies that had required school administrators to keep a gender transitions secret, maintain dual sets of student records. So here's the policy.
goodness.
Policy of the school required school administrators to keep gender transitions secret.
Two sets of records. Wow.
And create two sets of records. So if the parents came in, they wanted to look at the file of their child, they would be given file A, which doesn't have any of this. And they would never know that file B, that has all this information in it, exists.
These public schools take way too much authority over these children.
And it directed the teachers and staff to lie to parents. In December 2025, the U.S. District Judge ruled the policies are unconstitutional, stating that parents have a right to receive gender information and teachers have a right to provide to parents accurate information about a child's gender identity. But a three-judge panel from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals paused the injunction in January of 2026, skeptical that the lower court ruling was appropriately tailored to the situation.
But here's a great line of all this. The high court noted that parents, not the state, have primary authority over the upbringing and education of children, and that gender secrecy policies cut out the primary protectors of children's best interest, their parents.
Yeah, it says the right protected by the Supreme Court precedents includes the right not to be shut out of participation in decisions regarding their children's mental health, according to the opinion. California's policies conceal and facilitate a degree of gender transitioning during school hours. These policies likely violate parents' rights to direct the upbringing and education of their children. So this is a great decision.
Yes.
It's one of those emergency type of orders. So you have the lower district court ruling the right way, pausing and putting a stop to these policies. But the Court of Appeals putting that aside and letting the policies go into effect, and the Supreme Court stepping in and doing the right thing.
You know, and I would love to see the high court rule on this, and it would have an effect on every state, because right now we're looking at least 1,215 school districts that have adopted these secrecy policies to keep the parents in the dark regarding any change in the child's gender-related behavior. So I would imagine probably most of those schools like this had two different files for the children.
Yeah, isn't that crazy that they would come up with two different files? I mean, that's fraudulent. It's like you have two different kinds of financial
books. Two people, yeah.
And you want to present a certain kind of picture of your finances in one file, but the other file really shows the real problem with your finances and how you're cooking the books. And when someone like the IRS asks for your records, you give them the false file.
And they wonder why these children are so confused.
I mean, these are school administrators. These are school-wide policies, state-wide policies.
But they send their children there to learn how to read. They learn math. They learn social studies. They don't send them to start messing with their minds.
But what's astounding is this is a statewide policy. A statewide policy that California imposed on all of the public schools to create these gender secrecy policies and hold this information from parents. And not just to remain silent and not affirmatively, it's one thing to just remain silent, which is problematic. It's another thing to call Sam, Sally, and use a female pronoun when Sam is at school. And then when you have a time where parents come together, or maybe you have a teacher-parent conference, you then refer to Sam as Sam and use the male. You know, that's an intentional lie that the teacher or the staff is having to do. But it goes beyond imagination that they would intentionally create duplicate files for every one of their students.
Right.
A file that is a typical one that they'll show to parents when asked or anybody else, and a secret file.
And, you know, a lot of the secrecy stuff started coming out during COVID when these kids were at home and online on school. And, you know, they had to address the child by whatever name, their birth name that the parents use. And then in school, they would use a different name. And I'm sure there's a conflict there.
Yeah. And that's why I think parents got a chance to see inside the classroom for the very first time.
Right.
We told them what was going on.
Yeah.
Because we see it from people that contact us. But most people don't believe it. they think it might be, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Or no, that doesn't happen in my school. Maybe over in some other school, but not in my school. No, it's happening all over the place. Even in rural conservative areas, it's happening.
Right.
And they got to see it during COVID. And that's why there's been abandonment of these public schools in droves since COVID,
mm-hmm.
and an explosion of homeschool. And that's why we created Covenant Journey Academy, a K-12 online Christian academy, available 24/7, 365, cj.academy. And there's a lot of people making alternative decisions, abandoning this ideology indoctrination in the public schools. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.